Hi, everybody. This is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks. Today is Friday, April 17th, and on as many Fridays as possible, I like to do something called Free Bonus Friday, where I give all the podcast listeners a peek at some of the content that we create for our supporters. These are the people who support us through the AV Club, through Patreon, or through Subscribestar. And I'm pretty sure that for a lot of you, this is going to be the best 16 minutes of podcast audio that you've heard all week. So, you know, congratulations to me for editing it together. Congratulations to my collaborator, Dutch. And congratulations, of course, to all of the supporting listeners who motivate us to create content like this that unfortunately never winds up in the actual podcast feed. So one of the monthly series that we do is called The Picture of the Month Club. I do it with my friend Dutch, a delightful, insightful, and successful filmmaker. He has worked on the making of films you have heard of. And the catalog of our Picture of the Month Club collaborations includes Stanley Kubrick's Barry Lyndon, Martin Scorsese's The King of Comedy, Mad Max Fury Road, Terminator 2 Judgment Day, American Psycho, and now Paul Thomas Anderson's 1997 epic Boogie Nights. And when we first started talking about doing this, one of the aspects of the Picture of the Month Club that we thought would be really fun is doing like scene analysis and breakdown. And this film has many impressive and captivating scenes, but one that really, really stands out is this explosive example from the third act of the film. This scene's actually named in the film. It's called Long Way Down, One Last Thing. And that's what you're about to hear us get into in this audio. So this whole show runs almost 2 hours long. This is 75 minutes in. But if you want the whole show and you want to help incentivize the creation of more of this content and more of the content that you heard earlier this week, you can go to schoolsucksproject.com/AV. You want immediate access, Patreon is the best option. But if you want all the bonus content we've created since the very beginning, I would recommend the AV Club, but you know what? I had a guy this week do both. His name was Ben, and this is now the third time that I've thanked him. Thank you, Ben. Now, before you proceed with this, I want to tell you there is strong language and very, very adult themes ahead. So if you are here primarily for content about learning outside of school, where learning takes place, you know, unschooling, homeschooling, etc., and you're not interested in talk about drugs or being sworn at, I will just tell you that yes, we create exclusive content for the people who support this show, and you, especially if you're easily offended or you're listening with children under the age of 28, you'll probably want to hit stop right now. Here we go.
But the thing that ties into the theme of Dirk's ego that I think is really interesting, right? We see him pick up the money.
Yeah.
Bucks Wolf. And it cuts to black, and then there's a title card. And it says one last thing.
Long way down, one last thing.
So the long way down, right, is Dirk is a star, right? Dirk is a star. He's this huge ego. So it's like what we're saying is like the biggest star has the furthest way to go down.
Yeah.
Right? And his furthest way to go down is the scheme where Tom Jane and John C. Reilly's characters, they're going to rob, and Dirk Diggler are going to rob this drug dealer somewhere out in L.A. who is sitting on a ton of cash.
All right, this could be the thing. Something to help us score a little extra cash. The guy's name's Rahad Jackson. He's got more money than God. He's got twice as much coke, crank, and smack. All right? This guy's going to buy just about anything anybody wants to sell him. Just likes people hanging around at his house, partying, the whole thing.
Well, how do you know?
He's coming to Party Boys Live. Utrix introduced me.
Well, how would we do it exactly? I mean, how would it all go down?
It's going to go down like this. I'm going to call him on the phone, okay? I'm going to tell him I got a half a key of quality stuff.
You gave his phone number?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to call him on the phone. I'm going to give him a price.
How much?
Well, it's half a key, man. It's like $5,000. I'm going to split that up three ways.
So I have to get the vet fixed?
That's right, man. So we're going to do the deal. We're going to drop half a key of baking soda into a bag. We're going to walk over there. We are going to... Boom. Right there. This could be a nifty little bit of hustle bustle.
Wait. Do you have his address?
Fucking read. Yeah, I got his fucking address.
What? Yeah, what? Okay, question. Sorry.
Hold on. What if he tests this stuff out?
He won't.
Well, how do you know that?
because I know he won't.
They go into the house, and it's Alfred Molina's house, and he's like this guy in a silk robe and his underwear, and he's like smoking crack. I think it's crack, or he's like free base. I don't know.
He's exactly free base and cocaine, because he says you guys want to play baseball.
Yeah, you guys want to play baseball. Yeah,
drug slang for free base and cocaine. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's free base and cocaine, and there's this guy in the apartment, in his house, who's lighting fireworks the whole time. It's magical. It's a really beautifully, masterfully done scene of just building horrible tension.
Right. And when this scene starts, you know, I mean, there is something interesting in like the runtime of Boogie Nights, where the two words that I came up with as descriptors for this movie, the first I used at the very beginning was inspired. The second one was relentless.
Whoa.
The movie is relentless.
No shit, but why?
Lots of things pad the runtime in addition to like all these character arcs. I mean, the film is over 2.5 hours long.
I'm nervous. Do you have a gun too?
At this point, after we've seen all the stuff we just talked about, the shooting at the donut shop, Dirk getting beat up, Roller Girl's downfall, Jack's downfall, you're like, okay, I've had enough. Let's get some redemption and get out of here. And then you've got this whole other long way down, and you're kind of like, okay, is this the end? What is there, 2 minutes left? Because, you know, on VHS, you couldn't tell how long was left.
Yeah.
You know? Then this scene begins.
How you doing? Come on in.
And just when you're fucking exhausted, like you've had enough, you've loved the movie, but you've had enough, this starts to play out. The way it begins with like Sister Christian, there's this kind of like push in on this guy. His name's Rayhad Jackson. He's played by Alfred Molina, who's got like a... people have seen him in everything, but you've never...
Everything under the sun.
He's the guy who won't throw Indiana Jones the whip in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah. But he's in a lot of stuff, and he's kind of like unrecognizable as this coked out, super rich. Maybe it's like the Hollywood Hills or something. He lives in this big mansion. He's got a bodyguard and this little Chinese boy who's throwing firecrackers. It's just brilliant. But as the song starts to play very quickly early in their conversation, he acknowledges that this is not soundtrack for the movie, that this is music that he's listening to because it's a part of their conversation. So it's not just like all of the tension of this unfamiliar environment that's going on, the firecrackers plus the music. So you are just over fucking whelmed. Your senses are overwhelmed, and your exhaustion is immediately transferred into understanding what these characters, who are all, you know, sleep deprived. So it's Dirk, Reed Rothschild. I can't believe we haven't even mentioned that name in this show yet, but that's John C. Reilly's character. And then the Thomas Jane character, whose name is Todd Parker or something. I think it's Todd Parker, who is a stripper who's friends with Reed, but then through drugs, they all kind of, as drugs do, bring them together into like this circle of friends. And then Philip Seymour Hoffman's Scotty character is still like on the periphery of this, but he's not involved in this harebrained heist attempt that they're going to do.
Yeah, which the harebrained heist is that they're going to take fake, like a bag of flour and sell it to this guy.
Right. Yeah.
And they're going to take the money and they're going to leave. But here's like the other layer of tension in this, right? Is that it's really well done. So they're having this meeting where they're discussing the plan, and Dirk is like, what if they test it?
Yeah.
Right? And he says he's not going to fucking test it. Right? And so there's this base level player that they're just going to sell him bad fake cocaine and then run.
Yeah.
But then when they get there, the way that everything's built up, so first there's a bodyguard, then there's gates on the doors.
Black guy has a gun in his jacket.
Right? Yeah. So there's this like hint of like entrapment. Then there's this loud music. Then there's fireworks going off, right? Then it's revealed that the bodyguard is carrying a gun.
Count the fucking money in the car.
Then Alfred Molina's character takes out a gun and puts one bullet in it.
Yeah.
Then he starts playing Russian roulette in front of them.
Hey, you want to see something really fascinating?
That thing's not loaded, is it?
Not yet.
Is that silver?
Look,
don't point. Don't point the gun, please, sir. Todd, right.
What, you think I can't do it?
No.
Wait, wait.
No.
Don't.
You think I can't do it?
Sir,
wait. What, you want to see me do it? Huh? No. Huh?
You dare me?
Huh?
No, we don't dare you.
Dare
me? Fucking dare me!
Your fucking faces, man.
And then we see that the bodyguard is testing the cocaine, exactly as Dirk said. He goes, what if he tests it?
Just like, I make these little mixtapes together, you know, I put all my favorite songs together. Hey, Charles, which one is this? Number 11, yeah. I love it. You know, when you buy a tape or something or an album, you put it on and the songs are like the fans put them in some fucking order, like they want you to listen to it in that order. You know, I hate that. I fucking hate that. I don't like to be told what to listen to, when to listen to it, or anything. Fuck. It's Cosmo. It's Chinese.
That's why life's letting out firecrackers. Huh?
Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend. So, in the middle of all this, right, it's like music, firecracker, cut, back and forth between Alfred Molina and the three guys who are sitting on the couch, just getting increasingly uncomfortable. All of a sudden, with all this franticness, it stops. And the camera just holds in like a medium close on Dirk's face.
The song does change, and it's Jesse's Girl. What you're about to describe, just so you know.
Yeah.
Is my favorite part of the entire film.
Absolutely.
It's the best shot in the movie. It's the most incredible, the most that you can empathize with, like that horrible feeling of rock bottom. It's this moment before he makes a decision, but go on.
You see him in a shot that in the middle of all this, with all this chaos going on, it just takes you to Dirk's face and it holds there for almost a minute. Out of what is maybe like an 8 or 9 minute scene, a minute of it is this. You see him go through like every emotion that a coked out rock bottom person could have in this incredibly tense situation. But yeah, pick it up from there.
It's also like this moment of clarity, right? So it's like what happens is you have this, like as you're describing, it's like a medium close-up of Dirk and he's rubbing his head and then he kind of stops and freezes. And now all we can also hear is Jesse's Girl. We can only hear the song that's playing.
Yeah.
John C. Reilly is sneaking in and out of the frame a little bit, and you see his lips moving, but you can't hear any of the dialogue.
Right.
And Dirk kind of is just staring off into space, and then he like almost has this like wry smile.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Small smile, like he's realizing, like, it's, I think, the way that probably, I've never been myself, but you always hear stories of people in Alcoholics Anonymous talking about like their rock bottom moment and it being like this moment of clarity.
Or a moment of, I'll tell you what I think it is, because all of these other things considered, and then something happens that changes his mind, right? The smile could be about surrender, right? Which is obviously a feature of addiction, which I think is very much related to this, where you kind of realize this is it. This is as far down as you can go. But he smiles almost as if like the tension appears to be relieved for a second, in that all of the resistance to what's been happening and the nervousness about what's been happening, it's like, this black guy has a gun. This coked out friend of mine has a gun. This coked out guy, this guy freebasing coke, singing the wrong lyrics to Jesse's Girl and saying he's fucking friends with Rick Springfield when he doesn't even know the lyrics to the song. He's got a gun, at least one. And the bodyguard is over there realizing that what we just sold for $5,000 is baking soda. And at that point, and plus the gated door, all of these things,
everything,
right? It's just like, well, this is it. This is where it ends.
Yeah, I'm going to die here.
people describe this feeling when they thought they were going to drown. There's a peace.
Resigned to it, yeah.
Resigned to it, right? When you know...
Except for Dirk doesn't resign.
Sir, we got to split, man. We got to go.
Ah, oh, come on, you just got here.
No, like, that's
the
it.
The thing that happens turns. Is he is. This is the turn for him, like, almost as much in the same way that, like, the relief of finding the bag of money is for Don Cheadle, right? Is, like, you hit the rock bottom, but then you hit this turn, and he immediately snaps out of it. All of a sudden, you can hear everybody in the room again and this cacophony of sounds and music and everything else. And he goes, all right, we got to go. Mm-hmm. And he gets up to go, and this is where Todd Parker doesn't have that moment.
Hey, 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 hey,
hey.
We want something else from you.
What? Todd, what the hell are you doing, man? Let's just go.
In the master bedroom, under the bed, in a floor safe. Understand?
What the fuck is the matter with you, Todd? Let's go.
Todd, come on, man.
Shut up, Dirk. I told you I got a plan. I got a very good plan.
Oh, are you kidding me, Kitty?
Nah, see? I'm not kidding. I want what's in the safe. We want what is in the goddamn safe in a goddamn master bedroom and a fucking floor on a goddamn fucking floor safe. That's all.
Tom, don't be crazy, okay? Sir, you don't know anything about this, okay? This is not at all what we wanted.
Shut the fuck up, Dirk. Do not reach for your gun, man. Don't reach for your gun.
Kills the bodyguard, and tries to mount this charge. If we're going to do something, and he said we're going to do it, and we're going to do it.
Yep.
You went in the bedroom. Todd, what the fuck are you doing?
You went in the bedroom.
Todd, what the fuck did you go crazy?
He's got coke, and he's got cash in that safe, in that bedroom, and we leave here without it, man. Fucking idiots, man. We came here to motherfucking do something, and we can fucking do it, all right? Are you with me?
Todd, listen to me. Let's just split, man. Let's just split right now. This was not the thing. This was not supposed to be the thing, God.
That's what a goddamn came here motherfucking do. And that's what I'm gonna fucking do right fucking now.
Fuck no. Don't be fucking stupid.
And Alfred Molina blows him away with a shotgun, and then Dirk Diggler and Reed Rothschild run out of the house. And are chased in the street by this guy who's shooting a shotgun at him, and he narrowly escapes death.
And the music is so good. The music, it's like this cowboy ninja movie music. I don't know what cowboy ninja music. I don't know what it is, but it's like it starts out like very percussive, and then it has this like almost fiddle thing that comes into it. It's watching Alfred Molina like walk down the street as this music plays. It's just, man, that is Tom's scene. That is one of the greatest movie scenes of my viewing life.